from the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson, a bi-weekly-ish podcast about all things automotive marketing. Now, here's your host, Matt Wilson.
Another episode of Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is here. Yes, hello, welcome. Season 5 continues. We're brought to you by Silverback Advertising, online at silverbackadvertising.com. And the whole thing happening in partnership with Dealer Marketing Magazine, online at dealermarketing.com. So some of you who listen regularly probably know that I often talk about spending a lot of time in business development centers. I used to be the marketing director for a group of Nissan stores, and I would visit those stores frequently. And a lot of times when I visited, I would spend time with the BDC managers in the BDC. I'd go hang out with the general manager or the dealer principal or executive manager, and we'd talk and figure out what was going on. And then I would go hang out in the BDC. So I spent a lot of time listening and hearing what was happening in business development centers. And I spent a lot of time talking to BDC managers because marketing and BDC go together hand in hand, right? They're working together. But one of the things that I noticed a lot of, or there's two things I noticed a lot of. One is process is important. I used to hang out in a BDC in Connecticut, and they had a crazy process. You know, person called in, you did A. If the customer said B, then you did C. Like, down from, you could, 99 out of 100 times, the process was the same in this BDC, and they did a great job. And then I would hang out in another BDC in Connecticut, and it was like a total train wreck. Disorganized. Nobody knew what was going on. Sometimes there wasn't anybody covering the phones. Sometimes stuff wouldn't get put in the CRM. And then I would hang out in another BDC in New Jersey in our group. And it was like they beat you over the head with, they'd tell you anything to get you in. You could say, listen, when I come in, can I get $10,000 for my car that's only worth $400? And they'd say, yeah, come on in right now. No problem. We'll take care of it. Like, they would say anything to get you in, which is a recipe for having an annoyed customer once they show up. So, you know, with all these things in mind, I was checking out Dealer Marketing Magazine and a fantastic article, that's not even a word, a fantastic article written by Wendy Reeves. It's called, Is Relevance a Part of Your Dealership's Internet Lead Management Process? And I said, let's get her on and chat about it. So joining me now on Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is the founder of BDC Angels and a longtime experienced BDC trainer and BDC director, Wendy Reeves, on the show. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I am good. Thank you for coming on. I've been needing to talk to somebody with your expertise to validate what I've been thinking all along, which is process is super important. And if the process breaks down, then the whole thing breaks down going forward. Talk about, in your experience, before we get into the nitty-gritty of some of the processes, talk about, in your experience, what happens if, from the beginning, the process is not followed?
Sheer pandemonium.
I like it.
You absolutely, like everybody says in our industry, and probably other industries as well, it's all about the people and the process. And you can't overthink a process, but whatever it is, you have to be consistent about it. Like I often say, BDC stands for bring it daily and consistently. You have to have enthusiasm. You have to follow your process daily and be very consistent about it, because the minute that you see a little bit of success and you start to veer off process, it starts to break down, and before you know it, you have a train wreck and you have to start back at square one.
Yeah, that's a good point about people like, oh, things start to go well, so let's not stick to the things are going great. Let's just do it however we want to do it. But it's the process that's making it most efficient. But what do you think, before we get into the whole like laying out a process, what is the biggest, like, if you know, as a BDC trainer or your years in a BDC, what is like the step that's easiest for BDCs to miss that can have the most negative effect on, appointments?
Probably active listening. And by that, I mean either the words people are speaking on the phone, what they're texting, or the comments in the internet lead, if it's an internet inquiry. I think we get so hung up sometimes on our scripts mm-hmm. and our call guides and the road to the appointment, as I call it, that we forget that we have to be actively listening to what the customer is trying to accomplish and what drove them to put the inquiry in. And mm-hmm. that's where the idea of relevance came up. So I think active listening.
I used to work in a store, obviously, and I was in a BDC a lot of the time that the BDC manager had been there forever. So the customers knew her and she was like super conversational, right? But the challenge was training people and being like, okay, this is start with the script and like learn from there. She's like, I don't use the script because I've been doing it forever. But you'll see if you listen to my calls that I'm hitting all the points that you need to hit. So I'm still doing the process, but my approach is more conversational. How important is it, or can a customer tell, let's say that, can a customer tell, you know, if you're making it your own, or, you know, you're not reading it, but you in your head, you know what you're following. How important is it to be able to kind of make it your own and make it conversational as opposed to like, you know, reading a script?
Well, I mean, there's so many dealers now that are using AI. So there's a lot of, lack of human interaction to begin with, all the changes going on. So I think it's important for the customer to know that you're actively listening, like I said, to them, that you are interested in what they're trying to accomplish. And you can use a couple words, like I always encourage, to make it your own, but you have to make sure that you're still delivering the same meaning.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They have to know that you care. You have to put that extra layer of empathy in now, especially post COVID.
Yeah.
And it'll make or break it. Absolutely. Because if you can go on and on and on and ramble and set an appointment and think you've got the customer coming in, but they, at some point you unsold it because you didn't sound sincere and they'll never show up.
Do you think the age of, you know, having a lot of AI involved or outsourced BDCs or BDC people working from different locations, has that made it more important to keep detailed notes in the CRM?
You know, I don't think it's more important. I think it's equally important. Mm-hmm. The importance of notes in a CRM has always been overlooked. You know, for years and years, and people are, they're still preaching the same thing. Those of us that train, whether it's in-house or outside trainers and consultants and coaches, we're all training the same thing that we've been training for years. People are starting to pay better attention now only because they're changing the way the model looks, depending upon the store. A lot of times they have salespeople doing what BDC or internet salespeople used to do. So yeah, absolutely. Especially if they're remote and they can't walk into the next office and talk to the sales manager, notes are important, but equally important, not more or less.
For me, like my CRM at my agency for when we were, you know, prospecting clients or we're getting leads coming in, the notes that I put in my CRM aren't even for someone else. They're for me because if I talk to an agency or prospective client, I talk to all my clients, prospective clients. I have conversations, podcast recordings, and I go back to somebody in the CRM 2 months later. I'm not going to see that name and remember like my conversation with that person. My brain can't handle the amount of information. So I'm like, oh, Jim, oh, his agency handles travel, and we talked about the New York Mets. Like, I need to read that to be able to, because if he calls me out of the blue, I'll be like, Jim, yeah, how's it going? I'll be like, Jim, who the heck was Jim? Oh yeah, we have this in common, or our conversation went that way.
Right.
Is that level of detail needed, or is it because I'll do another story. I had a guy who was a sales guy at a store I worked at, and some people would always like joke around and make fun of him for the detailedness of his, and it was like a paragraph of notes. And I always said, guys, like, maybe that's a little extreme, but y'all could get halfway there and it would be a little bit more helpful. Is there too detailed of notes?
Yeah, probably. As in anything, I think you can get too detailed. Same as like when we review calls, we do a lot of call review for dealers to try and identify trends with agents. And yeah, if you get lost in the blah, 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 in the, you know, insignificant things, then yeah, you can lose the whole message. I think, and all the CRMs are designed, and I don't see many people use them, but they're all designed so they usually have a special instructions or special notes or personal notes section. So just a few key details like you talked about are very, very helpful.
Do you see, like, philosophically, do you think, is a BDC selling cars or selling appointments?
No, we absolutely, positively sell appointments, not cars. Absolutely.
So you're trying to get that person, the BDC manager's job or the BDC rep's job is to get that person in to the dealership for an appointment.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Now, that's our ultimate goal. But right. at the same time, and keep in mind that you're talking about a BDC that sets appointments, appointment setters, versus an internet sales department or a one touch, completely different models.
Different things. Okay.
And depending upon the store, they may want different levels of touch on every lead by the sales department or the internet sales manager. But when we're setting appointments, anything beyond the realm of vehicle availability or maybe financing options or an app to a link to a credit app, or setting an appointment should be turned over to the sales department,
okay.
to the sales manager. Like if you want, they want you to touch a car and see if it was a smoker's car, or they want to get the paperwork started, et cetera, then by all means, turn it over to the BDC manager and her or him to the sales manager and out of the BDR's hands and send them back to work in the leads that they haven't engaged with yet.
How important is it for that process, though, not to fully leave the BDC? Because I agree with what you're saying, but let's say, you know, it gets sent down to a sales manager. Is it a smoker's car? Yada, yada, yada. And the guy goes, okay, cool, interesting. All right, thanks for the info. I'll give you more information. Sales managers and salespeople are notoriously terrible at follow-up. You know, yep. I'd be in meetings where, a manager would be like, oh, did you ever call the customer back? And the guy would be like, oh, no, I didn't do it. Well, hello. So how important is it when that happens, like on the sales floor, for that to get back to the BDC managers or the BDC? So the BDC can say, okay, so-and-so sent you the info, wanted to just follow up and see where you're at, you know, because if it could get lost down there easy.
Oh yeah. And that's all about mindset. I mean, the salesperson had every intention of doing that, but they turned around, they got a fresh up on the lot. So they had no choice. They remembered hours later. So ultimately the lead is the responsibility of the BDR whose name is on it. Mm-hmm. Or if they're working from a bucket, then if they touched it last. So they absolutely need to schedule a follow-up for themselves to like an hour later to make sure that there were notes put in the CRM and that it was turned over. I like to also include emails in TOs because that way you can go back and if there's no response after an hour or so, you just hit reply all and ask for an update. And you've got a paper trail and you've got accountability. And most importantly, you have that BDR keeping an eye on the lead and making sure the customer got what they needed in a timely manner. Otherwise, they're down the road buying a car from someone else.
What about pricing? Customer calls and they're looking at a car and, hey, this is a cool Jeep Gladiator. I like it. I see it on the used car lot. It says call for price. Can you give me a price on that car? The BDC person is an appointment setter. Is that the same process? Let a sales manager handle that info or...
So depending upon the store, you would be surprised at the number of people, the number of ways that you can customize that process. Some dealers like you, and that's if we're doing the leads, if we're outsourced and doing the leads, or whether it's in-house, it all depends upon their process, what they decide. They may give the BDC a list of current prices, where we'll try to set the appointment first. If not, we'll give them the price. Mm-hmm. Or they may ask us to give a range. Like we have that vehicles available as well as several close matches. And they start at right around X number of dollars.
Right.
And depending upon the level of equipment or trim level, they could go up to X dollars.
Yeah.
They would do that. Or... we'll get a little bit of, we'll do a little bit of fact finding. Is there a trade involved? Do you owe money on it? What about financing? You know, where'd you finance with? So we can kind of try to determine a little bit about that. And then with that information, then we turn it over to the sales department. Because the thing is, especially if you're dealing with subprime, you don't want to get buried in prices.
Right.
Because people may not necessarily be able to buy what they want exactly that trip anyway. So we want to sell them a car, not that car.
Right.
just want to get them in the door.
Is there a different skill set involved in, because customers come at you different ways, right? A customer comes in via the phone, or a customer is a chat lead or a text lead, or like you said, you have a subprime customer, or you have like a type A customer who like wants this car, wants the price, wants it now. Like, I feel like handling those are different skills. So how important is it to have a BDC person that's kind of like cross-trained or understands the different, because not every customer is the same. They're coming to you for different vehicles, or, you know, if you have multiple stores, a customer may be coming to you, you know, for a different type of vehicle in a different way with a different personality. How important is it for the BDC person to understand all the different ways they may be contacted or spoken to?
It's very, very important. And typically you can figure out which way it is based on the lead source. I mean, if it's an inbound call or even internet inquiry or chat, we typically have the source.
Yep.
And we know if it's something that's subprime, or we know if it's like an OEM lead, where if they want price and everything else, we're going to give it to them, everything they want, or they're off onto the next dealer.
Yeah.
If it's cross-training, sometimes there are some teams that would give the intender leads or the prime leads to the third-party leads to one group of people, and then the squeeze page or subprime leads to another group of people that's not quite as trained. I mean, they're trained in, not that second level.
Right.
So, yeah, very, very important.
What about service BDCs? Do you think sales and service BDCs are the same? Is it the same people? Is it one BDC? Are they separated? Just what are your thoughts on that?
Sales and service?
Yeah.
Did you say? Okay. Yeah. You can absolutely cross train, but I think that it probably, just for the sake of just performance and staying in one database as opposed to the other, I would think it would be like when I ran that was in-house back home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin was, 2012 maybe. We had five stores. We had them all in the same room, but we had the sales BDC and the service BDC. And then they were cross-trained to cover for one another on lunch and on days off. Mm-hmm. So you can absolutely cross-train, but I would give them one focus or the other.
Before we wrap up, what do you think the best pay plan for BDC agents is based on appointments or solds?
Oh, definitely. Actually, not neither. It's all about the shows.
Shows. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All about the shows. And I think it has to be a decent hourly wage, or you're not going to get anybody to jump at the ad. But you can't. I see some people offer way, way, way too much per hour, and they don't incentivize it enough. So there's no reason for them to perform and get you the numbers that you need volume wise. So in that case, I'm really in favor of weekly volume bonuses, show bonuses, team bonuses, where the entire team gets a pot, say $500 a week for X number of shows. And each BDR has to have X number of shows to qualify to partake in the bonus. And if the team makes the show, then whoever got their own individual qualifier gets to split the pot.
I like
that's
that.
That's what I think. Yeah.
Do you think there's bad leads? Are there good leads and bad leads? Or are there just leads?
I don't know. I mean, that's a hard question.
It is.
It's so controversial,
It is.
Like, depending upon who you're asking that question to.
Yeah.
And then others will say there's no such thing as bad leads. I think you get a lot of garbage, invalid information, like in a squeeze page lead or choke page or whatever. But as far as good leads and bad leads, no. A lead is a lead. A lead is an opportunity.
Yeah.
So I don't think there are any bad leads. No.
I think a lead is an opportunity to have a conversation.
Exactly.
And this person's, listen, we all, it's the same thing with salespeople. We all want person to walk in the front door on Saturday at 10 a.m. and say, hey, I'm here to buy a car. I want to buy that one. Let's sit down at your desk and let me get my checkbook out. But the reality of the situation is that's not always how it works. And so you can't expect every customer to call in and say, hey, I'm interested in this so-and-so. Can I come in and have an appointment on Saturday? And then they come in and buy the car. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
But there is lots of bad data out there. So you get people that come in that are like, oh, how did I get this mailer? I'm not interested. I don't know what it is. And like, and then that counts as a lead, right? And maybe that's a bad lead, but you're adding that person to your CRM. It's a conversation you can have. And maybe 6 months from now, that person is a name that comes up in your follow-up process. That, yeah. Cause you don't know, the person, not every customer is going to buy a car in 5 days.
No, but they might know somebody who is.
Right.
And if you give them good quality experience, even if they don't buy, maybe they'll send you somebody that will.
All good stuff. You clearly know what you're talking about. We have, I'm going to do a live, I don't know when I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do like a live BDC Q&A where I'm going to get a bunch of BDC experts and we're just going to have the same conversation and chat about it and go back and forth. And I would love to invite you to come back and do that whenever I get around to it. So hopefully that you will be willing.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. Looking forward to it.
Excellent. Thank Wendy, no problem. Wendy Reeves, founder of BDC Angels. Great job. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt.
Multi-automotive marketing with Matt Wilson brought to you. Oh, before I do that, well, I invite you to check out Wendy's stuff. She's on the expert panel at Dealer Marketing Magazine at dealermarketing.com. And the article that I've been referencing here is called "Is Relevance a Part of Your Dealership's Internet Lead Management Process?" So check her out, Wendy Reeves, on the Dealer Marketing Magazine expert panel. I'm on there too. It makes no sense. I'm not an expert, but you know, go on there and check out episodes of the podcast as well. Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is presented by Silverback Advertising online at silverbackadvertising.com. Make sure you visit us wherever you listen to podcasts or on social media. You know, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, all the stuff you're supposed to say. I know I sound like I'm all jacked up on caffeine, but I am. So that's why. Anyway, thanks for listening. More episodes coming up soon.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper is blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.